It's a little bit after 4 p.m. here on KDNK, and you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour news segment with the staff of the Sober Sun, in this case, Editor Will Grandbois, that's me. And with me in the studio, Jeannie Soldern, one of our newer freelancers.
Hello.
Who we'll be catching up with in a moment, but also, hopefully on the phone, Andrea Stewart of the Chamber.
Hello, I'm here.
Awesome. So we're gonna pick on you first because you're off there remotely, and who knows what might happen with the connection.
Good idea.
ride the Rockies. That's why you're on today. Although I'm sure there's other things you can share with us. What's going on there? That announcement was like a week ago.
Oh, it was just Friday. Yes, we're super excited to announce that Carbondale is serving as one of the overnight hosts for the 34th annual Ride the Rockies.
Awesome. And so what's that look like? What do you know the dates offhand? Or
I do. So we are stage 4. It will be Wednesday, June 12th. And then they ride out of town on Thursday, June 13th.
Okay.
And they'll be coming from Snowmass.
Uh-huh.
And they're adding a little technical ride from point A in Snowmass to point B in Carbondale. It'll be a 78.6-mile ride, gaining over 5,000 feet of elevation up to the Maroon Bells, and then circling back down, coming into Carbondale.
Great. And so they're staying at the high school, right?
They are. Yes, that'll be their headquarters.
But we're putting on a show for them, kind of, keeping them entertained, hopefully?
We will. So that's one of the great opportunities that we have as an overnight host, that we can really showcase Carbondale. So we're in the final logistics as to where exactly that space will be, whether it's at North Face Park or downtown. But either way, it's a great opportunity to really, you know, showcase everything that Carbondale has to offer, including the restaurants, the retail aspects. It's a huge economic development opportunity for Carbondale, for sure.
Great. What else is going on at the Chamber?
We are just gearing up. We're in the final stages also of planning for all of our programming for 2019. And again, adding Ride the Rockies to the list will be really great because it's opportunity. You know, we'll be looking for volunteers for Ride the Rockies. And then also for participation, if there's any entity that wants to have, you know, a food booth or anything like that. So that's one of the many programs that we have. We also have, we've rebranded our quarterly luncheons.
Okay.
Now it's called a Power Hour.
Ooh.
And that's open to Carbondale Chamber members and non-members. Just an educational luncheon seminar. And our first one will actually be on Tuesday, February 12th at the Third Street Center.
That's coming right up.
The Tourism Council, which is an entity of the Chamber, is actually hosting and presenting, which is pretty cool. And the topic will be marketing, social media, and PR, kind of just a 101 as to, you know, how to do that. Because most people now have dabbled in social media, but kind of ready to take it to the next step. And also, you know, the 3 points to writing a press release. You know, some people, again, they're looking to unveil a new, you know, specialty or offering at their business or an event, but might not know how to write a press release. And so hopefully that will trickle down and the members and non-members both will learn how to do that and then maybe even submit a press release to the Sober Sun.
We love it when people know how to write a press release. That goes a long
yeah,
way for informing us on what we ought to be covering and what we need to get out there. Andrea, anything else you want to add?
No, just thank you so much. And if anyone has questions regarding the Chamber in general or something specific to our luncheon series or Ride the Rockies, we are located in the Third Street Center, or you can also visit our website, carbondale.com, and there will be volunteer opportunities. If people are looking to volunteer for Ride the Rockies, we could definitely use some people power.
Great. Well, thanks awesome. For calling in, Andrea, and I'm sure we'll have you on again in the not-so-distant future.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Have a good one.
Bye.
We're going to transition right in with that press release conversation into introducing a new freelancer who you might have met if you were listening about, you know, 5 minutes ago. Jeannie, tell us where you're from and how you came to be in Carbondale.
Well, I'm originally from the Twin Cities area. And for people who don't know what Twin Cities means, it's the Minneapolis and St. Paul area, Minnesota, that when you cross over the bridge of the Mississippi River, that's those two cities. That's where I've spent most of my life. I did do a little stint in Madison, Wisconsin for a while, but primarily Minnesota. So if I do break into Fargoese, I apologize. I do sometimes do that little Marja Gunderson, and you betcha. Yeah, it does come through once in a while.
Yeah, you know, when my dad spends a little too much time back in Quebec, he starts to sound like a Canuck as well. So it happens.
Yep. But I came out here in November, and my daughter lives in Glenwood Springs. She is a lift operator at Snowmass, and this is her fourth season there. And I had come out to visit her a couple of years ago and fell in love with the mountains, fell in love with the landscape, and here I am. So.
And you have a journalism background.
I have a journalism background. I did kind of come to it late in life. I originally worked in banking for a number of years, and after I got burnt out of that, I went to a college in St. Paul, St. Catherine University. They had a weekend college program, and I did written communication and minor in sociology and women's studies.
Awesome.
So I had some experience with, I worked with the Minnesota Women's Press, which is based out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and Turtle River Press, which was southeastern rural Minnesota, and some other freelancing gigs along the way.
Great. And so when you came to see me, you told me you liked politics, which is not necessarily what I usually hear from a potential freelancer. A lot of folks like to write features.
Yeah, I actually came to politics when I was 16 years old. My best friend in high school, her mother was a precinct chair in one of the suburbs of Minneapolis. And if we wanted to go out on a weekend, she would make us do phone calls first. When I would stay over at my friend's house, she'd be like, okay, you have to call these 50 voters up before I'll let you guys go out. So so that's how I came to it. And I found actually doing calls to voters was something that got me excited about politics. I like the grassroots feel of politics, and I got involved in a lot of different campaigns in Minnesota. One of the last ones that I really got involved in was Senator Paul Wellstone's campaign in 1996. My daughter was in one of his campaign commercials when she was only 5 years old. So I find it very rewarding that you can make a difference at a local level.
Mm-hmm. And I have to admit that when somebody says to me, politics are a thing I like to get involved in, and I'm an editor, meetings are the things I hear, because we're not in an election year. We're in a time of year where local politics mostly happen in rooms in a somewhat dry setting, if we're being honest. And I assign myself the trustee meeting every other week, but there's a lot of other meetings that go on. So the first thing we've thrown you at is a Board of County Commissioners meeting and the Red Hill Trail system. What can you tell us about that?
Right. Well, another thing that I've been learning as I've gotten here is literally the lay of the land. I didn't know Carbondale at all. So when you gave me the assignment of covering the Garfield County Board of Commissioners and the Red Hill Trail project, I had to actually find it on the map and learn about the trail system here, which is different for me. I am a hiker, but I'm not a biker. So but you know better than anybody will that when you do reporting, a lot of times it's nothing that you're necessarily an expert on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn. You do your research, you talk to people, and that's how the story kind of came about for me.
You know, I would almost contend that when you are an exporter, at least when you're really into something, it can be difficult to write about because you have to remember the things you need to explain that seem obvious to you, or you don't ask the questions that might actually prompt a more vigorous conversation or a deeper analysis of the subject. So while I'm sure that many of our listeners are very familiar with Red Hill and go, I can't believe that somebody wouldn't know where it is. I think that's actually a really useful perspective, especially as we keep coming back to the same issue, this AVLT, purchase and some of the revamping. We cover the same issues time and time again, and those of us who have been covering it for a long time, you might notice our stories getting a little bit drier and less enthusiastic with each retelling. So it's nice to get a fresh perspective.
Well, I can tell you, in writing this story, the thing that impressed me was the collaboration and the cooperation amongst all the stakeholders. I was involved with writing a story about kind of similar in some ways to something in Minnesota. And I was very impressed with this story, how there was a single-minded focus on making it happen, and that all the parties involved found a way to do it. You don't necessarily find success stories like that. A lot of times there's internal squabbling or squabbling with government entities, etc. So this is really a great story, I think.
Leslie, Leslie Johnson has snuck into the theater into the studio here while we were talking. You looked like you might have something to add there.
No, I think it's I'm really excited about this fresh new voice talking about Red Hill. Just that I have biked up there and run up there for years, and like you said, that everybody is pretty focused on making it happen, and it's happening. So I think that's really great. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's a success story going way, way back,
yeah.
You know, in terms of the council that supports it. You know, there's a whole organization to make it happen from back in the days. I'm sure you remember when parking was a little bulb out on the side and the trailhead was, a sign. And there were, you might not see somebody up there if you went on a weekday. And now it's just a huge recreation hub of the community.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that were both excited, and then there are other people that were not so excited about that part of it. Because for so many years, including my husband, they had that whole trail system to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bikers, and he always says it was the bikers first. It was the bikers before the because that's the only conflicts that I see sometimes with the, because it has gotten so popular. But I think with all this addition of just hiking trails, there will be hiking trails and just biking, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to help a lot.
Then there's the equestrian element if you want to really get into the weeds.
Yeah, so lots of adventures out there, outdoor adventures.
Jeannie, anything you'd like to add about this particular story?
I mean, everybody was really forthcoming and helpful that I interviewed. And I was quite impressed. I told people that I was impressed that they... And even the fundraising aspect of it, mm-hmm. from private donations, it was like 5 months. Suzanne Stevens from Aspen Valley Land Trust told me that is a really compressed time to raise a lot of money. So I think they should really pat themselves on the back for what they did.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, expect to see a few more stories from Jeannie in the not-so-distant future. She's got some assignments she's been working on, both dry and in-depth. I think some things that others would be afraid to tackle. So I'm really looking forward to...
And you will probably see me around town. I do wear a Minnesota Vikings stocking cap.
Mm-hmm.
And I will apologize right now for Case Keenum. I'm sorry about that. And I wish the Broncos better this next year round. So
that's a nice sentiment. Yeah. I should let you know that this is Katie and Kay, commercial free since 1983. You're listening to Everything Under the Sun with me, Will, the editor of the Soper Sun, and Jeannie Soldern has just joined us. She's welcome to duck out if she wishes to, or she can hang out while we talk with Leslie, who I interviewed this week about Airbnb, which has been a contentious issue around here. Glenwood is looking at putting a moratorium on it. Carbondale, it seems like we're in a better place. There's a taxation agreement, but the town hasn't really waded into this issue. I wanted to talk to folks that were acting as hosts, see why they had done that and what their experiences were like. And Leslie was kind enough to talk to me. So tell me a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, you know, as I said, we've had our Airbnb, right? It's a property that we have right next to our house since 2012. And it was a long-term rental before that. And when we were traveling and we started staying in more VRBO rental units and Airbnbs, and we had some difficult experiences with some tenants, we thought, you know, why don't we try that? Why don't we try, you know, fixing up the house and try the Airbnb and the VRBO? And it just took off right away and has been a really pleasant experience. And so that's why we've continued to do that, the Airbnb. And it's been, you know, it's been good income, and it's been, you know, we meet people from all over the world, and it's nice to also see it being used for family, visiting other family or coming for weddings or special parties. So, yeah, we've both enjoyed having that rental as an Airbnb.
And your other options are what? To rent it on a monthly basis on the open market or to sell it, right?
Yeah. And right now, currently the property is on the market. And also we could go back to long-term rentals, you know, which would probably not be month to month. It would probably go back to, you know, 6 months or to a year. And so I go back and forth with that all the time because I have felt bad about the housing situation. I have had a lot of friends that have had to move away because there's no place to rent and it's too expensive. But it's also been like, oh, you know, the two really bad experiences that we had when people took complete advantage of our rental really drove us in that direction. And we haven't had any problems since. So but there are times when I go, if there was that perfect tenant out there that really I knew would be there for a long time, and you know, I would consider it again. I go back and forth. So,
but in the meantime, you haven't had any negative experiences,
not
or seriously
all.
Negative experiences with Airbnb to drive you away from that.
Right.
And a lot of the folks I spoke to sort of talked about the support. I mean, it seems counterintuitive that you would want to rent to a whole bunch more people to avoid having conflicts. But you've got the backing of an organization, and you've got just sort of the advantage of these people aren't staying long. They're not really in the unit for very
right.
much of their time, even while they're here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and another, like you said, having the backing of the organization is another great thing, because people that rent, they have to be verified. The people that you have to, you know, become an Airbnb member, and you have to be verified, and you have to, if there's any bad experiences from any, you know, Airbnb that you stayed in, then you can't do. So we're protected in that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are any damages, you are covered right away from both entities, both VRBO and both Airbnb. I mean, right away, they don't even really question it. So it's a win-win. It's been a win-win situation.
That's great to hear. Yeah. And of course, while we certainly need housing here, we also need a place for people to come and visit.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same two hotels as when I was born, pretty
right,
much.
Exactly.
Plus there's Skiko housing or Rafta housing in the hotel that used to be next to the Red Rock Diner.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the way home. And
right, and you have the distillery as well.
Mm-hmm,
they have beautiful rooms.
Some bed and breakfasts.
Yeah.
But not a huge amount of lodging in this town.
And where you have a kitchen and you can cook meals and you can, you know, be right at home. So
So have you heard complaints from neighbors or owners of lodging institutions about it?
I never have. I've had some disgruntled friends just saying, how could you do that? Because I've been a long-term resident, and I, you know, some people are like, that, you know, so-and-so had to leave and they didn't have any place to rent. And I'm like, you know, so just that, but nothing mean-spirited.
Uh-huh. Well, and another thing that was said to me by several of the folks I interviewed was, well, sure, yeah, people need a place to rent, but these folks that are doing the renting are also trying to live here, trying to make it work
exactly.
affordably.
Exactly.
And just because you own property doesn't mean you're necessarily in a great shape to stay. The mortgage is there, the the property taxes, the general cost of living.
Yeah, that extra income is great for me, actually. So that's another plus.
Yeah. Speaking of the way home and speaking of you, you were the very first cover of the Valley or of the Soper Sun back in the day. Do you do you recall that?
I do recall that one. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my transition into the fact that the Soper Sun is celebrating its 10th birthday in a few weeks here, which we've alluded to before, the demise of the Valley Journal around Christmas of 2008, and 6 weeks later, which I'm
amazing.
Pretty impressed with, if with the folks who were involved. 6 weeks later, we're looking at a brand new nonprofit newspaper. And now we've made it 10 years, which I think
that's
certainly
crazy.
Yeah, the folks I've spoken to from back then are a little surprised.
Yeah.
It was always a shoestring, you know, operation with a hopes that it would get off the ground. And so many people have put in such hard work to keep us rolling. Leslie, just what was your experience? What was your level of involvement with that first issue?
You know, can you refresh my memory on what, cause I was in on the cover a few times. Which one was it?
Joy in So Little. I think you had just gotten back from a trip abroad.
Yeah, I was in Africa.
Yeah.
That was the one where I went to Africa, to Swaziland with Amy Kimberly and a group of folks where we worked in an orphanage over there. So yeah, that was an amazing experience to go over there and work with the orphans and travel the country. So my experience as far as being on the cover,
I don't know. You hadn't. It was a brand new paper. Trina was coming to see you. I don't know if that affected.
And it was really great. But I have to say, when you walk around town and those boxes are everywhere and you see your face on the cover, it's like, I mean, anybody who's been on the cover can relate to that, because I have talked to other people. You go, wow, there I am. There, that's a really big picture of me, and I'm in every box, because there's a lot of Soper Sun boxes around town.
That's our goal.
Yeah, and so it's good. And I love that paper, and I remember being really sad to see the Valley Journal go. And then, like you said, it was amazing that for 6 weeks later we had another paper, because the passion, that's what I love about this town. There's so much passion and so much caring that everybody just said, no, we cannot let this die. We have to keep this community paper. And you've been doing a fabulous job along with a lot of other people that are working really hard to keep it going. So
it's absolutely a team effort, and the readers and the advertisers and the donors are all part of that team.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good to know that you've been on the cover several times.
It was a few different times, but I might be, because Jane is a good friend of mine, and the other ones were probably Valley Journal. It wasn't like a main cover, but I remember her saying after a while, she goes, you know what? I can't put your picture in the paper anymore. And I said, that's fine. So,
well, I'm glad I hope we find other people to pick on, because I'd like that club of people who have awkwardly been on the Soper Sun cover to grow until it's almost like not a big deal. So Jay Angstrom, you know, he's looking very serious on the cover of this week's paper, to the point that some people didn't recognize him because he's such a smiley guy. So sorry, Jay, but I think it's a good photo.
I do too.
I think it's a great cover photo.
It really covers that event.
Yeah.
The intensity of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, our 10th birthday celebration is February 10th.
My tickets.
I know you did. at the Way Home from 11 to 2 p.m. We'll be doing brunch with a cash bar. Those tickets are available through Facebook and on Eventbrite, and there's a link in the paper if you're into that sort of thing. Thanks for 10 years, folks. We'll probably still be talking about that for a few weeks here. So sorry if you get sick of us. In the meantime, thanks for listening to Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. We are going to turn it over to, I'm thinking probably Amy, but I've been told there's another live conversation coming on right after this. So stay tuned.